You know, guys, when you get to be our age, finding the motivation to get back in shape can be hard. It's just plain tough to find a routine and to stick with it. Good news. FitBod is a fitness app that is anything but routine. It tailors your workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule, so you can avoid burnout. And FitBod helps keep up your momentum by mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. Best yet, FitBod has over 1,000 demonstration videos, so you can learn the right way to do each exercise. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app for free at fitbod.me/zabe. That's fitbod.me/zabe. Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Okay, hosers. It's charge time, eh? Let's do this.
Good day and welcome to our single.
All right. Welcome to Charge's Nightmare. The water is warm. Jump on in. The Vikings are 0-3, and he brings a tale of concert woe to the table as well. Is anything, Charge, going right in your life right now?
I'm extremely virile.
Well, I like that braggadociousness. It's a beautiful thing. Beauty way to go. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. I'm taking out my many frustrations on my wife right now in ways that can't be described on this family podcast.
In a consensual and loving manner, though.
Well, she, you know, she, mostly.
How about in a consensual manner?
There we go.
There we go.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Now we are talking, my man.
Whatever, you know, in today's society, you say, Church said on Zabe's podcast, he's taking it out on his wife. Pull quote.
Exactly. So you may remember about 2 years ago on a Zabe cast, I lamented a concert that was ruined for me because I'm at my favorite band of the last decade is called Explosions in the Sky. And you got to wait every 3 years or so. They come rolling through town and I get into position. I've got a great spot. It's a standing event, right? So I'm about five people deep from the stage. I'm in a great spot. And then moron guy who's tripping balls on something gets right next to me and won't stop talking.
Oh,
the whole thing.
My God. Talking and, to you?
To me. Yes, to me. And he won't shut up. And, I, you know, at first I'm just like nodding and ignoring. And then I'm like, dude, you got to stop. And, you know, and now, and then before long, he's like, there's everybody in a circle is just sending daggers his way. And he's too lit up to even understand what's going on.
Who else was with you?
My wife, Roxy, was with me.
Okay. Now, so that complicates things right there. Was he a potential physical danger to you?
Tragically, no, because at that point, I can go get a guard, right? I can go get a security. And if I wanted to, right, I could go, you know,
so he was,
winnow my way out and go get help.
He was drugged out. He was not drunk. And he was not correct. A big, imposing meathead who might try to pound you into the ground like a tent stake.
Oh, I could have took him.
Okay, all right, you could have taken, but who wants to? Because who knows what dirty needles or knives or whatever he's got on him.
The bigger issue for me is I'm good friends with the manager of the site, and the last thing I want to do in this venue is start a fight, right? I mean, you know, it'd be disastrous,
right.
You know, interpersonally.
Right.
So fast forward to this last weekend. They're back in town, Explosions in the Sky, and I get there early enough. I got my primo spot right up front again. And I'm like, we're going to make up for lost time. And the concert starts and it's fucking awesome. They are knocking it out of the park. Everybody's grooving. This is sort of a head back. This is like a head nodding kind of music. Right. Everybody's nodding their head. People are into it. And then
the same guy from 3 years ago shows up and he's like,
"Oh, I was waiting.
Hey, dude, it's our favorite.
I
remember you. It's our favorite band, man."
At that point, I would have taken him out at that point. But no, instead, we're about 25 minutes into what's going to ultimately be a 100, 110 minute set. Roxy passes out on the floor.
Oh, my God. From what?
She's the kind of person where she'll get out of a chair too fast and she's like, whoa,
no.
But she doesn't normally pass out. So she turns to me and she said, this is before she passed out. She turns to me and she says,
"Oh, feels so good."
She says, "I think I might pass out." And I'm thinking, I must have heard her wrong. We're just standing here. What's going on? And then she goes limp. And I have to catch her on her way down lay her on the ground.
What?
And
in the middle of this concert.
Yes. And people got out of the way, by the way. They did. And
did they go get help?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
Within moments, here comes security and they've got us way off to the back of the concert hall. And she was not. Oh, here. That's them right there.
Did you say I'll take your hand in mine?
Oh, well done, my man. I did take her hand. This is their biggest song. It's currently on Spotify, 66 million plays.
Explosions in the Sky, Your Hand in Mine. I just did Explosions in the Sky on YouTube. It gave me the first suggestion. This was I didn't even need to Google best song. The algorithm on YouTube tells you right away.
Their music algorithm is actually extremely good. You can find all kinds of great bands.
All right, I'm going to let this percolate while the story goes on. I assume it's going to pick up at some point.
Yeah, the whole bit on Explosions in the Sky, it's all instrumental. It's heavy rock, but it goes quiet, quiet, quiet. Big crescendos, booming volume, quiet, quiet, quiet. So it raises and lowers, and the songs are usually 6 to 10 minutes long. And
you say it's all instrumental, no lyrics.
No lyrics, all instrumental. And
well, what are the songs about? Do you have to guess?
Want. That's the beauty of it. It's whatever you want.
You write the lyrics in your own mind.
Mm-hmm. Where does the music take you?
You could write a beautiful Vikings song and then just imagine it set to one of the Explosions in the Sky where Kirk Cousins wins the big game and shuts everybody's fucking face.
Yeah, now, Explosions, speaking of which, here's your conduit between these is Explosions in the Sky are from Texas. They did all the music for Friday Night Lights.
No way.
Of course, yes, the epic football show and set in Texas. And so it's not a coincidence that they did all the soundtrack work behind the show and the movie. So, yeah, and we tried, Roxy tried valiantly to regain her footing to try to get back into the concert, and couldn't, she couldn't stand long enough. What, she'd stand for a moment.
What was it?
And she's down.
Dehydration, exhaston.
We don't know.
Blood cell levels. I mean, has she seen a doctor? This could be potentially serious, you know?
Well, like she's always had low blood pressure and she
low
gets,
blood
as I
pressure.
Mentioned,
extremely
yes.
low. You know what? I've got some food items that could help raise that blood pressure if she wants to.
Exactly. Yeah, called everything I eat.
Everything I eat. Right here. Let me get you on the old high blood pressure train, baby.
Yep.
So we had to leave.
And now I've gone, you know, that guy ruined my previous concert with Explosions in the Sky. Roxy had this happen. Totally not her fault, but it happened. So I'm all bummed out and I'm trying to find, like, okay, you know, given my football schedule, can I find like a 24-hour window? Exactly. I tried to maybe see him in Chicago on Monday night. Couldn't do it. They're going to be in New York in October. I might try to just like fly in, see him there. I don't know. I'm all bummed out.
Yeah. I'd stay away from New York City right now. Just saying.
If I need a hotel, I got to fight a million migrants.
Yeah. Good luck on getting a hotel there. Why do they name their songs? Like, this song is Your Hand in Mine. It has no lyrics. They should just call it Song 23 or whatever.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna check it out. I'm sorry to hear that. I wish the best for Roxy. She's just a sweet little waif of a woman. So, you know, definitely have to make sure to hydrate and eat something good because I can see how a gal like that might find herself. Why, the vapors have overcome my constitution.
The vapors.
I think I must lie down right now. Did the Vikings' brutal loss on Sunday cause you to faint? Or did you just say, well, another fucking day of being a fan of this team?
That's really what it's come down to is, you know, it's just like, this is how it works. And now I got to spend my week fending off the Kirk haters, even though he played a basically immaculate game in which he leads the league in yards. He's already absorbed 62 pressures, including, I think, 24 hits and 12 sacks.
Right.
And all the Viking fans can do is talk about how this team has to bottom out so they can go get a different quarterback.
Yeah, it escapes the morons that are the Kirk haters. The logic of, you do know there's a fan base and a team that would desperately love to trade for him, the Jets,
yes.
because
yes.
they think he's good enough to not just be the missing piece of their otherwise excellent team to go win it all, but they think he's smart enough and dedicated enough to fucking pick it up midstream.
Oh, he could, for sure.
Same guy you're now saying sucks and is the reason the Vikings are losing. Do you understand the illogic of your thinking?
Not here in Minnesota, they don't. As Keenan Allen rolls for a franchise high receptions and yards all time for a franchise that had Eric Coryell that has, you know, put many players through this passing offense into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And the Vikings gave up that performance to Keenan Allen, and it's still Kirk's fault that TJ Hockenson dropped the game winner at the goal line.
Yeah. It was the perfect storm of Vikingness. I felt for you because it's like, okay, you catch the Chargers minus Austin Eckler, right?
Yeah.
And then you're at home. And then you have a interception go right through the hands of your DB and boop, into the hands of the Charger player for a touchdown. Then you get an insanely stupid decision by Brandon Staley, and your coach said, "Hold my beer on that. Watch this. I'm going to get cute and not spike the ball." Let's get into that right there. Did Kirk have the option to go spike the ball?
So let's set the scenario for people. There's about 30 seconds left on the clock. The Vikings have the ball first down. They made a fourth down. Converted a fourth down.
I went through this yesterday, so I think we can skip over this.
Oh, okay. All right.
I looked at the clock again. You had 38 seconds when that first down was made. No timeouts. I assumed a 10-second minimum to get up to the line and spike it. So you could have had the ball first and goal with 28 seconds left. Instead, you snapped it with about 12.
That's right, and that's exactly right.
So 28 minus 12 is how many plays? Three plays?
Yeah, about that. about three plays. You could have had three shots at the
fucking
end zone.
Dummy. And never do anything that forfeits the chance for more plays, especially because DPI gives you a new set of downs. You may need the more plays, even though the time is short.
Correct. And they had four plays. And so, you know, you needed all of them. So there's no doubt they needed them. The question is, where does the fault lie? Now, the Kirk haters, of course, go right to Kirk and say, no matter what, Kirk should have spiked the ball. But here's where it gets complicated. The coach is trying to yell plays to Kirk. He's not yelling spike to Kirk. He's trying to give Kirk a play. Kirk can't hear the play because the Viking fans are all cheering like maniacs because they just made this first down on fourth down.
Right.
And so, you know, people are like, hey, your Viking fan base sure is stupid. They shouldn't have been cheering. They should have been quiet. But
it's hard not
I think
to.
The Vikings, the fan base could have made a very natural assumption. You were going to come up and spike the ball. Well, you know, we should be able to cheer that play. And then so what nobody has come back and said it's Kirk's fault or it's Kevin O'Connell's fault who does our play calling. But most people feel like Kirk should have known better. But the problem was Kirk could tell there was a play coming into his ear, but he didn't know what it was. And so that was and he's, you know, he's trying to hear the play and eventually hears the play. And by now they've burned 20 seconds or whatever off the clock.
All right. Yeah. So exit question. Is it over for this year and what's going to happen?
I don't think it's quite over for this year because the Packers have looked highly inconsistent and you know, I'm not taking anything away from a nice come from behind win for a young quarterback who needs that kind of confidence builder, but they're also doing it against a team without their starting quarterback. We'll see. The Lions have looked not quite as good as we thought they'd looked since beating the Chiefs in week one. And so the division is still, you know, maybe there's a scenario where they get back into it in the division. But realistically, they're not. They have the Chiefs and the 49ers in the next month. They're going to lose both those games. They're going to be at best 2-5 at that point. 2-5 at best. So, it's a lost season.
Well, it's funny because the NFL is so tilted now towards having a unicorn quarterback, not just a good quarterback. You must have a unicorn. Right.
Yeah.
And you cannot go without him for five hot seconds. Otherwise, doom will descend upon your team. The Bengals, who won last night, and with Joe Burrow limping around, not able to get any push on deep balls, painfully obvious, barely over 50%. They are going to what? Try to nurse him through and get him across the long, deep ocean of 14 more fucking games? Are you high?
I know.
I don't know how they do it. What is this plan? So, in other words, they could easily, in a more sane world, in an NFL of, say, 25, 30 years ago, they could shut him down for a month and say, call us in a month. He's going to rest. And we're going to start Jabroni X. By the way, who's their backup? Do we know? Do you know?
Jake Browning would be the Jabroni of note.
Right. Okay. So we're going to start Jake Browning, and we're going to make it up with running and defense. And that's how we're going to hopefully win two of the four games and still stay afloat here. Then we're going to bring Burrow back. That NFL apparently does not exist anymore.
No. And as it turns out, remember, they lost the first two games. Bengals did. So they would have been better off, as it turned out, just resting Joe Burrow another 2 weeks. And this whole thing may very well have just passed. But now they're stuck because they're 1-2. And apparently don't feel like they can win with Jake Browning. And so, I think they're stuck in a position now where they just got to hope that he slowly gets healthier by playing these games, which doesn't usually work, but maybe it will. Yeah. But sooner or later, you can't keep. Get this. His average completed pass is 4 yards. To your point, he can't throw downfield, and you can't win games playing like that.
I do think we're going to get to the point, maybe we're getting a little bit closer to this, in which NFL teams now think way more macro than they ever have before. Coaches in the NFL and the ethos of football is you play. If you're hurt, get out there. That's pretty moronic, though, when you start looking at the big picture of what's the goal? Get into the playoffs with enough of a team to make a run. That should be the goal right there. If you're playing, you're a big board game guy, Charge. You know every board game has certain tactics and strategies that are more optimal than others, right?
Yes, there's usually a gilded path, a primrose path to winning a game. Like in Monopoly, there's only one, which is buy everything every time you land on anything, you buy it. That's the only strategy of that awful game. You know, I differ with you on thinking that there's going to be that there's more of a macro approach. There should be, but there's not.
Okay,
teams still play to win now.
Let me complete my point here. First of all, in Monopoly, kids, this is straight from church. Here's how to play Monopoly. Step one, buy Monopoly. Step two, throw it in trash. Step three, right. Take selfie with game in trash. Now you're done.
That is winning. You just won Monopoly. Well done, my man. I have raised you well.
Okay, so we're not there yet. We're in the infancy, maybe, of teams starting to think macro. And here's the phrase that's going to make people fucking seethe at me for even saying it. Yes, the NFL should start thinking about load management.
Like the
NBA, teams should really think strategically. Oh. They should think macro. I'm looking at the Packers right now. So they got a game coming up as we sit here and record this in 2 days. They have 7 starters now on the injury report, including 2 hamstrings and a chronically reconstructed knee, and they're all pro left tackle. They also have, other than this game on Thursday night, 1 game in 23 days on the other side of it.
Oh, my God.
They've got the long ocean from Thursday to Monday when they play the Raiders in Vegas, and then a bye week after that.
How nice.
If it's me, and they're already talking like Aaron Jones is going to play on Thursday, that Watson's going to try to play, my opinion is fuck all that. Throw out whoever you got. This game against the Lions, who are pretty good, I hate to admit that, but they are, is a coin flip game at best. If you lose it, fine. You're 2-2 out of the first 4. That's not a bad start. That is a macro strategic way to look at it, and I'm not sure.
I love it.
I know, but I'm not sure the ethos of football, the tough guy, the coach, I'll lose the locker room otherwise, may not be ready for that yet.
No, and here's the complicating factor is the opponent. If it were literally any other team than the Lions, it would be a foolproof plan. But you're adding a bonus 30% win rate to a division rival, and your only division rival, right? The Vikings and Bears are out of it. Your only division rival, and you're giving up the tiebreaker.
Not giving it up, but you are – well, you're giving up the chance to own the Stone Cold tiebreaker with 2-0. And there is also that tough guy ethos of, what are you scared? What are you scared of us? Like, don't want to play.
You know what's scary? Well, you know, A.J. Dillon trying to be a lead back in the NFL. That's scary.
Okay, let me ask the Viking fan, what do you think of A.J. Dillon?
He's bad.
Why?
He is a – straight ahead runner with I thought he'd have some footwork and a little wiggle. He doesn't have any.
Thank you.
And if you're going to be a straight ahead bulldozer guy, you either have to be like Derrick Henry, where you're just shredding guys in your wake, or you have to have a little bit of move like Jerome Bettis had amazing footwork for that big body.
Right.
AJ Dillon doesn't have it. He doesn't have either one. So defenders just line him up and they make their tackles and that's it.
Yeah. I argue this, and Packer fans are a bit blinded because he's a personality, and the Quadzilla nickname is cute. I argue it this way. I go, who else has one of these guys? Who else in the league has, like, do you watch the rest of the league? Who else, is this the prototype around the league? Oh, well, and then they just sort of stumble around. I'm like, thank you, no further questions. Nobody else has one of these, okay? Slow, which he is by running back standards, slow has no room at the table in today's NFL at any position for the most part. Only quarterback, where if you got to be really good with your arm and precise to be able to deal with it. Fucking slow loses. He's slow. And you're right. He's also not very nimble. So, and the thing that kills me is that last night, DeAndre Swift just went off for Philly, and I had to look up what they gave up to get him. It was a 4th rounder and a swap of 7s. And I'm like, fuck, would they kill for that right now? Oh, well.
Yep. That would have been nice. That would have been nice.
All right, let's talk.
Here's the thing. But Aaron Jones is going to be healthy, and he's great. I mean, there is that for the Packers, right? You've got one of the 10 best running backs. You just, the guy's constantly.
Got to use him, though.
You got to use him. I agree.
He gets hurt a lot. He's tiny, too. He runs above his weight class. You'll see him punish guys and take guys on. And then you meet him in person like I did a couple times at his charity fundraiser. I'm like, this guy's tiny. Nice guy, but look at him.
You know, we're driven by the search for better. When it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't help you just hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. This according to a recent Indeed survey. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support the show by saying you heard about it right here on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. You've heard me talk about my dog Tucker a lot on this podcast, and it's hard to imagine our family now without the joy that this little field spaniel has brought to our daily lives. That's when we were approached about advertising Superfood Complete on the show, and I said, well, yes, of course. Actress Katherine Heigl has helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, and she is seeing more and more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about, feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Dogs across America, just like my dog Tucker, are trying Superfood Complete and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe and order right now to get up to 50% off your regularly priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com. That's BadlandsRanch.com/Zabe today. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today. Anyway, let's talk about the Monday night games. Here's a quote I want you to weigh in, yay or nay, on. When you have two Monday night football games, you actually have none. Do you agree strongly, agree sort of, disagree mostly, or disagree vehemently?
Disagree mostly, and here's how they're fucking it up, Zabe. The start times are stupid. They're basically on top of each other.
Right.
They should be separated by right now, one of them starts and then another one goes off 1 hour later. So you're one third of the way into the first game. The outcome of that game is almost always still unknown. And here comes this other game that's running concurrently with it for the bulk of that game. Now, what they should be doing is an East Coast 6:15 Eastern time start. And 2 hours later, a West Coast start at the equivalent of like 8:15. So there's a two-hour gap. Now, at the end of 2 hours, I'm now two-thirds of the way through that first game. If it sucks, I can put all of my attention into the next game. And if it's great, then I can ignore the next game until that one wraps up. And as it stands right now, I get the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
I've got two games that are competing for my attention at the exact same time. Now, even in your glorious setup of 92 screens, it's not the same as having your full attention on one game.
Well, that's the thing. I also feel like the spacing aside, which I agree, and I think most fans agree, this is like having your meal come 2 minutes after the soup. It's fucking annoying.
Yes.
The spacing is problematic, but also I kind of feel like I want Mondays to be a convening evening amongst us football fanatics. I want us all to convene on one game.
One game, yeah.
And because you and I are in the chattering business, the next morning you want to be able to dig into the one game. Did you see that catch? Did you see that call? Why did he do this or that? That's now watered down because many people are like, no, I was watching the other game.
Right. You don't have the shared experience. I agree. It's not the same. Now, I think the reason they've done it is they've deprioritized the quality of the Monday night game. And so we've gotten a lot of Monday night games that frankly suck and, you know, or at least have no appeal going into the game or very low appeal going into the game. And by scheduling two, you double your chances of having one of them feel meaningful to your viewing audience.
Yeah, I think somebody had a meme on Twitter of an executive saying, okay, look, they're going to watch the games anyway, so just give them the bad ones. We'll put the good ones on Sunday.
Yeah, I know. Sunday and that's Thursday Night Football's entire run right there.
I know, but here's the other thing is that the league is in a bit of a trough right now with bankable star quarterbacks that you know are going to play. There's injuries, and there is a changeover. There's a changeover in the guard where certain quarterbacks aren't yet stars, the likes of which we used to have. And I went through the names before. Sounds like you're hesitating, like, not so sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not so sure because, there's still 15 really good quarterbacks.
All the Bs, Brady, Breeze, and Big Ben. There's three Bs right there, plus Manning, plus Rodgers, plus Romo. See, that's six bankable stars that were all humping at the same time. Every week, you put them on primetime, it's a must-watch TV. And they played all those guys. Those guys, like, never got hurt, basically. Yeah. Even Big Ben, when he was walking wounded, he'd be out there. So you're like, all right, let's go. All right.
I think, you know, but we reload constantly. And even at the hardest position in
sports, of course, but
to be good at, we have, like, Tua. You know, like, Tua right now is attention TV, right? I want to see if he's going to score 70 points.
And I don't know how much network, how many games of network order did they make in the NFL? How much did they put the Dolphins on in prime time? I have not looked at the schedule. Does anyone know?
I can find out pretty fast if you'd like. If
you want to look that up, you can. Just look up the Dolphins schedule while I prattle along here. Yes, Tua is exciting, and we're going to talk about the Dolphin phenomenon here real quick. It's been a good run so far. I should take a break here, but it's too late to take a break because we're way past halftime on this. Do you like one or the other crew better than the other? I found the college crew to be quite enjoyable. I'm a Fowler aficionado. He is a pleasant TV companion. He doesn't overdrive the broadcast. He knows how to lay out. He can be minimalist at times. Yes, Orlovsky and Riddick are a little bit raw alongside, and they're trying to figure out their rhythm together, and they're a bit nerdy, but I vastly prefer that to Aikman. Aikman ruins Buck, and I love Buck, but Aikman just leans on me like a fucking fat guy who's sweaty on a bus. Hanging on to the strap. Get off of me, Aikman.
The problem, Aikman's analysis is infantile. It is like as if you've only watched like 10 games of football and you've suddenly been handed a mic. And the frustrating thing is they just re-upped Buck, and you know Buck just flipped over to whatever he's on now. Is it not Monday? Is it Monday Night Football?
Yeah, he's on Monday Night. He's on Monday Night Football.
So they just flipped him to Monday Night Football. They could have decoupled him finally.
I know,
and they didn't. It's terrible.
For a long time, I believe that Sims was dragging down Nance, who I'm also a fan of. But it's hard when this is your buddy, you're traveling on the road with your fellow million-dollar star. Buddy X quarterback who's in the number one booth in the NFL. It's hard if you're Nance to go to management and be like, yeah, Phil really sucks. I need a new partner. So they're not going to do it. So I'm sure Aikman is Buck's boy, and he's overlooking the fact he's just not very good. Do you have the Dolphins schedule?
I do.
What is our... Yeah.
There are 15 remaining weeks in the NFL schedule. 15.
Just 15.
The Miami Dolphins will be nationally televised as a standalone game two times the rest of the year, as it currently stands, unless they get flexed at the end of the season. They have two games. They got Sunday nighter in week seven. They got a Monday nighter in 13. Okay.
They got a Sunday and a Monday.
That's it. They'll have no Thursday game.
They'll get flexed, no question. They'll get flexed as long as this continues, as long as it is Tua. Who is backing up Tua right now in Miami?
Mike White is the backup, and we know that because Mike White came in last week and in garbage time scored more fantasy points than Zach Wilson did in his entire game.
The same Mike White who replaced Wilson last year.
That's right.
When ironically, they finally had enough of him in New York, and they're at the same point now in New York as they were last year with Zach Wilson. They fucking can't stand him. You know, he may be trying hard, doing all the right things, but he's got the most punchable, overprivileged white boy pretty face, and they want to cave that fucking thing in every time he plays football for him. Okay, so back to the Dolphins.
Very briefly on that. The move they should make is Andy Dalton. The Panthers are 0-3. Andy Dalton just came off a great game. He's still functional at the quarterback position. It won't cost you very much. And the upgrade that you get from Zach Wilson to a functional NFL quarterback, albeit maybe the 23rd best, is still a gigantic leap. And he might cost you a fifth rounder. Okay. So go make the move.
All right. So on the Dolphins front, somebody asked me, because I have this term I've used over the years, of a Cat 5 super team. Whenever an NFL team gets really hot, I said, this is a Cat 5 team right now. So, and I like hurricanes, sometimes the Cat 5s fall apart and they get downgraded to a Cat 1, Cat 2, Cat 3. And somebody asked me, is this a Cat 5? And I go, fuck yeah, they are. They just put 70 on the board and then took a knee when they could have had more. Yes, that's a Cat 5. But, caveat, like Hurricane Lee that spun up this summer late in the year, they're out over open water right now. We're only in week 3. So right now the Dolphins are a definite Cat 5 super team, but they're not near land yet. We're a long way from land, and let's just see. I worry about Tua. God, I love that guy. I'm happy for him. He has only been sacked like twice so far, I think, this year. Yet I just worry that.
Which is amazing. Yeah, I looked up his pressure numbers are absurd. It's something in the neighborhood of like 18 pressures on the year. And I mentioned Kirk sitting at 64 pressures. I mean, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Now, 3 days ago, we would have said the Dallas Cowboys.
I know.
We're a super team. Steamrolled two opponents into oblivion. Felt like a Cat 5. Nay. They just got beat by the team everybody expected to be the worst in football. These things can be short-lived.
I know, but that's the fun of it. You get carried away, then you look stupid, and you laugh, and you go, okay, that was crazy. And that's why the NFL is king. It's a long and winding road from the start of the season to the end. Let me get one more thing in here before we're done. I saw a video from a guy who showed that you could hook up your new iPhone 15 Pro with all the extra computing power and the chip and the processor, hook it up basically to a 150-inch projector through an HDMI cable, put on the continuous power, get a Bluetooth game controller, and you've essentially got a full-blown 5th-gen Xbox or PlayStation in your pocket. Wow.
Now, Apple does not release any of the specs on the graphical abilities, the GPU, the graphical processing unit, in their phones. So we don't know for sure what the hardware is that drives it and just how capable that hardware is. But you can do a level of gaming on your phone if you want to. With the right game, because the games have got to be written to support, you know, all the power that it's got.
Apparently, they're going to come out with a full-blown Assassin's Creed with the very rich, detailed physical environments for iPhone 15. Not yet, but it's coming.
Which would be great. I mean, that's the kind of AAA title that phones really need. Now, the problem is most people don't want to play a big a graphical game like that on their phone. But as they get easier and easier to hook up to other things like wireless controllers, projectors, whatever, it becomes a more functional console that people, real gamers could use. I hate to say it, but my phone is my second most common gaming console.
Behind that little toy gaming console you waited a year and
not behind my Playdate. We love the Playdate over here. Behind the beloved Steam Deck. We love the Steam Deck. That gets most of my time.
Still play that 3D rig you showed us?
The VR? You mean the virtual reality
yes.
rig?
Yes.
I broke a controller banging it into the TV console, not the TV itself, but the console thing. So I broke the controller and I'm not reinvesting until the new Oculus, the new Meta Oculus Quest 3 is coming in about a month.
Okay.
And that's, I'm going to save up for that.
You're still committed to the VR concept. It's just
it's
you're
so
waiting
cool,
for the next
Zabe.
I know. I would have said it'd be more likely that you would break your tibia on the corner of your coffee table
yes.
than breaking the controller. Because you really get immersed in it, like, okay, I'm in the game now.
You are. In a way that you don't realize until you're the one in the headset.
All right, very good. Charge as always, my friend. Hey, Guillotine Leagues, jump in. Games are launching every week, and they've got great cheat
yes.
sheets and everything else. That's guillotineleagues.com. Thank you, Charge.
Bye, Zane.
See ya. Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.